Okay, so I guess we're gonna do this again. Because the devil definitely doesn't want me doing this. But I'm gonna say the word of God. I'm gonna do what God's called me to do. I apologize for the inconvenience if you caught this earlier with no sound. I apologize for that. I had to figure out some technical difficulties there. But welcome to the 15-Minute Rap. I'm Dr. Missy Hood. You know, it always happens better the second time around. Because now I've got the material inside me. So now I'm going to preach it. So here we go. What's the title for you today? The title for you today is The Seriousness of Our Predicament. Darkness Before Light. Dimensional Warfare. Where the Lord is saying, listen to me. Listen to me in this hour. I've got a word for you. I know you're extremely tired. I know a lot of you are worried. I know there's a lot of things going on, a lot of disinformation in the air. You have to be able to discern the disinformation from the real information in the news. If you're listening on Telegram, Breitbart News, what's another one? Gateway Pundit. So you've got to be able to discern the truth, the real truth, from a lie. Fake news, we're listening to fake prophets, between the real prophets and the fake prophets. You've got to be able to discern the truth from a lie. And that's all going to come with maturity. And I don't know if you saw, like on my Facebook, I posted a video, and I just saw it, about the woman, the young woman who was from Australia, who was talking about the different things that they're seeing in Australia right now. And it was sent to me by one of my best friends there. But she was depicting all these things that had been going on around her. And the Aussies are very, very concerned right now. They're very concerned because they're actually the guinea pig for the New World Order's agenda and what they're trying to bring to pass all over the world. And so we're seeing things play out, but things are going to get darker before they get light. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. And if the Lord has told you to get extra food, because in the next 3 months, things are going to get darker before they get lighter. Did you know that? And that's what the Lord's been telling me too. And if the Lord's been telling you to get extra food, now's the time to do that. I don't know if you've been watching the news and watching things about Greg Abbott and things like that. Our governor here in Texas, and even DeSantis, has been challenging this fake administration and challenging what they're trying to do to our supply lines and hindering the supply lines, hindering the ships from getting into our ports to get the supplies to the people. So they're anticipating a shortage. They're anticipating a shortage to occur. So you might need to have as much as 40 to 60 days of food on hand, paper goods, so that you can make it through this difficult time. That's why they're telling you to stock up early. If you've got a freezer, get some food. Get Patriot food. Get things like this. I walked into my office last night, and I looked down at some of my Patriot food, and I thought, man, God, I feel kind of stupid for buying that. And he cut me off, and he said, if I told you to do that, Missy, I don't ever waste a thing that I tell you to do. I'm a right-on-time God. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm telling you to do if you're listening. And now is the time to be listening. But the war around us is very real. And as we begin to see supply shortages across the nation, gas prices increasing, as the holiday celebrations hopefully draw near, Lord's saying, obey me. Obey me in this hour. I know what I'm telling you to do. And I know this seems like a doom and gloom word. I'm not. I'm just telling you what he's telling me in my quiet time. I'm coming back on. I'm doing the rev twice today. Lord Jesus, get this done. So what else is going on? Witchcraft is super high. The enemy's trying to block our gifts and anointings from connecting to love. Some are given the gift of joy. Some are given the gift of faith. Others are given the gift, very few, the gift of love from birth. But the enemy's trying to block your faith from connecting to God's love so that your faith won't work. If you haven't been able to see the vision that God gave you, the plan that he told you to write out. If God's got a plan that he's got for your life, it's not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. If you've got a vision, write it out. That's why he tells you to write it out like he did the Ten Commandments, so they'd be written down in stone. Can't add to, can't take away from at that point. But the enemy's after your gifts. It's always why he's trying to hijack your fivefold gifts and hijack the fivefold minister's gifts, because he has no power. The enemy has no power. And in doing so, he's able to see what you pray, say, or think. And you're like, how is that, Dr. Missy? And if you weren't on my prior 15-minute revs and I was talking about the Black Hat military and their participation in the occult. They've been doing that for years. They've been trying to build their, because the enemy has his army, God has his army, but the enemy's army is using the occult for power. Well, we're stepping into the spirit of the living God, into love for power, because love is the most powerful force on earth. So, how does he see what you say, pray, and think? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me to go here. They're using occult magic, by the way. They're using tag lock connections, which you need to melt off, break off, put permanent restraining orders against. They're using magic to connect to your spirit, to your gifts, to try to hear and discern what you're seeing and thinking. Why do you think they're trying to get the vaccine into you? Because in doing so, what happens is they get these nanoparticles into you, and they're trying to create a false reality of oneness, a fake oneness that's only created through the spirit of love and the living God. We're all one. The spirit bears witness with the spirit if you're operating in the spirit of love, so you can see and discern and operate. And you can also discern the evil in other people's and whatnot. But it's only done through the power of the living God. And the enemy hijacks that or tries to duplicate that through a fake oneness, which is why he's trying to get these nanoparticles into you through the fake vaccine, because those things attach to your organs and your brain. Well, they think that's going to give them that sense of oneness, that sense of being able, instead of having to astro project into your atmosphere from the outside in, they can try to monitor you from the inside out. That's not God. And so you need to break that stuff off. The Lord's saying, have you ever felt like someone's been watching you? They've been practicing magic. They've been practicing witchcraft and Satanism and trying to apply spells to help them do things in the spirit illegally against you. The Lord said, if you ever felt like someone was watching you, they're doing so through astral projection from the outside in to try to track God's people. They're studying you, trying to duplicate what God has been doing through you for the kingdom, but they're trying to create the enemy's kingdom instead of God's kingdom. So remember, God's building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and you've got all power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and anything that exalts itself above the throne of God, not the devil. Not the devil. You've been given that. And so Exodus 7:12 states, it talks about where Moses threw down his staff, and his staff ate up the false magicians, the false prophets, the naysayers that were not of God, the occult members. It ate up all their works. It ate up their staff. It ate up their power. So you've got all power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and anything that exalts itself above the throne of God. If you're seated beside him in heavenly places, if you're stuck in your flesh, you don't have a whole lot of power. It's all about the spirit that flows through you, or the spirit that you submit to is the spirit that flows through you. Your spirit, God's a spirit, the devil's a spirit, right? If you're submitted to the flesh, you don't have any power. You're carnal as a Christian. Some of them don't even know God. They're trying to emulate who they think God is. If you're submitted to the devil, which is your own shortcomings or the spirits that are around you in your bloodline or in walking in the earth, then that you don't have any power. That's why your prayers aren't getting answered. But if you're submitted to love and you're willing to change and be changed into God's image, God says, I've lifted you up for such a time as this, and I'm adding my super to your natural so that you can be used by me in heavenly places so that I can actually bring heaven here into the earth. And the Lord says, you've got all power. All power. So frontrunner, you need to be breaking off the enemy's connections to your gifts, gates, mind, discernment, and their ability to see, hear, and discern anything in your atmospheres at all times. Block them with Genesis 8:2. Block their ability to discern anything about you. Block it. Create a no discernment zone. And when you come against Satanists and witches, you're going to have to get a little bit tough skinned about this. A lot of people are thinking, well, I don't know if that's really loving, Dr. Missy. All is fair in love and war. I've got news for you. You ever read the book of Sun Tzu? Sun Tzu said all is fair in love and war. Because the first thing the enemy comes at, he comes at your communications. He tries to shut you off and censor you. Then he comes at your supplies. He's trying to force you to bow down to him so that you have no way to make a living, no way to eat. And God says, no way, Jose. I'm not letting you get away with this. This isn't your time, devil. This is my time. The latter glory is coming, not the presence of the devil. The presence of the living God is coming in this season. This isn't the end times. But you need to come against these witches and Satanists and cutting off their silver tab with Genesis 3:24 from being able to astro project any time of the day at night into your atmosphere and then locking doors behind them Judges 3:24, Revelations 3:7, and Exodus 15:6. Lock, block, seal off, and weld shut those doors, because if they can't get back into their body, their silver tab connects them to their bodies when they astral project. If they can't get back into their body, they'll try to get back into the body of an animal, an insect, or anybody else's vessel. That'll allow. And you don't want that. So shut it down. All's fair in love and war. Because this is a season where God means business. And Lord says, enough with the days of being a mamby-pamby sheeple. I'm expecting you to stand up and be the body and the warring bride I predestined for you to be. And a lot of the things that we as a body have been having to come to grips with are the facts that we haven't been in the know about what's been going on at all. We haven't known. We haven't been able to discern. And the Lord said that Americans and the Christians around the world are only in the know about 5%. We only know about 5% what the scientific world has been doing, what our leaders have been doing in our government. We've had horrible leaders in government, evil leaders that practice the occult. They practice witchcraft and Satanism. That's how they've been doing all this crap, getting into being their own little g's, just like Satan did before he was cast down. I will be my own God. I will ascend above the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to be their own God. That's why their agenda and their what do they call it? They have slogos or slogans. Be all you can be. Be your own God. So what you don't know can harm you, but they're ahead. We only know about 5% of what they're doing scientifically, militarily, in our legislative branches, within our state governments, in our federal governments, because we're moving into an information age where information and technology are advancing so rapidly. But then we have all these gurus who are into quantum physics and things like that, but they're starting to begin to be a little bit more full of themselves than they are. And I believe what's made it really, really difficult to comprehend for the sheep, what's made it hard for the sheep to comprehend where we're at, is that many Christians have been living in a bubble. And the enemy has purposefully kept them in that bubble to keep us from being a threat to him, keeping us in the dark as much as possible. The next reality I believe the church has been struggling with is I believe the body has had to come to grips with the fact that the Bible warned us that this would happen. We just never thought it would happen during our lifetime. So psychologically, we're having to come to terms with the facts that if you've been in church or been pursuing Jesus or in through smaller groups of believers, that God finishes what he starts. He's a God that doesn't lie. So whether you're ready or not, this is happening. This is happening. It's to prepare believers around the world for revival. And I'm going to get into that here in a second. The third reality that I believe that a lot of those that are misinformed are struggling with is that they have to come to terms with the truth that they didn't choose to grow up in Christ like the warring bride was supposed to have done. They're the ones at fault for their own chosen immaturity. They weren't ready. Hey, good afternoon. And because of their lack of obedience, it's causing some to already start to fall away because they don't have a power. They don't have the power of God on their vessels. So they have this false sense of security that's convincing many of them that their lack of self-imposed knowledge or their lack of their imposed, they don't want to know. They're not even allowing themselves to grow. They think that that's somehow going to keep them safe or keep the real reality from knocking on their door. And the Lord's saying, wrong, wrong. Ready or not, here I come. But for those who've continued growing up in Christ, you've become a target of the enemy because you're preaching the real truth of what's really helping to wake up the masses. Do you feel like you're always on the devil's radar screen? I do. Sorry. Pardon me. Because the devil doesn't want the masses woken up. Because if he can keep them in the dark, then he thinks his agenda will win. But God. But the real truth is God's already won the war. And the end of the book says we win. So all we have to do is walk it out and believe. believing in the greatest force on earth, which is love, for those walking in God's spirit of love or his gift of love. And the Lord's saying, how will you know my people in this hour? Again, the Spirit bears witness with the Spirit, but you're going to know his people by his warm, unconditional love of Jesus in their vessels. The Spirit will bear witness. You'll feel loved, they'll feel loved, because it's reciprocated. There's not a hot, cold thing or a black and white thing going on where there's cold love versus the warm, unconditional love, where that cold love can't receive the Lord on your life. So it's a one-sided relationship. That's how you know. If people can't receive the love of Jesus on you, there's a problem. That means something's wrong in that heart. That means somebody's chosen not to grow up or get free, or that they don't even believe. Even if they sit in the pew next to you. And this is really, really becoming a moment in time, I believe, where we're seeing people sit beside us in pews that are non-relatable. You can't relate with them because they're on a different spiritual page. They've chosen to stay where they think it's safe, or they've not even chosen to come up and get to know the Lord himself. And those are the ones that are going to hear, depart from me. I don't know you. Jesus is coming back looking for himself and his children, those that are truly his children. He's looking for an image of himself. He's not looking for your version of it. He's looking for who he says he is, not who you think he is. He's looking for an invincible, indestructible bride, a warrior bride. And this is how we know that it's the same message that Ezekiel preached to Israel in God's attempt to save them, because it was an in-your-face message then like it is now. Have you noticed the conversation getting more and more blunt with the Lord? More and more to the point. In your face. Do this now. Here, this is what's going on. Do this to stay safe. This is what he's telling us to do. And the Lord is saying in this hour, it's time to stand up, bride, and begin fighting like the bride I predestined you to be. Which brings us to Ezekiel 12:1 through 14:11, which talks about the spiritual blindness and the deafness of the church. And it's an intense chapter. You know, I've read the book of Ezekiel many, many times in my life. And this year, above any time, I thought, wow, this is intense. This is like in your face. And I was talking to one of my close friends yesterday, and I was asking her what her leader was saying about, you know, where we're at by the Spirit right now. And that leader said, well, if you could see the Lord and you could put your hand in front of your face, he's right there in front of you. That's how close, for those who have obeyed, that's how close he is to you. He's right here. He's in your face. And so Ezekiel was the exact prototype in the body of Christ as God used his vessel to help continually bring the truth to God's people, to into their spirit, to keep him in their presence if they were listening. And Ezekiel was an action prophet, kind of like Jeremiah in our last talks with you in the last 15-minute reps. And they were used to get God's people's attention, to pull them out of the doldrums, to get them out of spiritual blindness and deafness to where they could begin coming back to God and his ways. Ezekiel was called to warn the people that judgment was at hand. And he used unusual means to get his message across, to get God's message across. He would talk about different topics, kind of like what I'm talking to you about here. It's like these different things that we think don't matter, and then all of a sudden it comes to pass. It comes to pass. But Ezekiel lived out the message he was declaring. And his message was utilized to prepare the people who weren't listening. He was trying to be in your face to pull the people who had stuck their head in the sand to get them to begin listening again. Listen. God's trying to preserve you. And he preached two types of sermons. Kind of like what I'm doing right now. I preach one in the public and I preach one to our private groups as we're talking to you guys and teaching you. But the first ones of Ezekiel's message was done in the morning and the other one was done in the evening. But his morning message was for those sheep who weren't listening to God. They just kind of resigned themselves and they were accepting their fate. Like, well, whatever comes will come. We'll just live for today. and we're going to get ready to go into captivity. While the second group were those people who are still caught up in the flesh, and they're like, well, we're going to fight. We're going to do things our own way. We're going to do things. We're going to do what's right in our own eyes. And we're gonna fight this thing. We're going to make our way through this thing. And the Lord's like, you're not going to do anything. How about you learn to submit to me first and allow me to fight the battle for you? So the first two people groups, as Warren Wiersbe stated, Ezekiel's actions portrayed the terror that the people would experience in spite of their believing that the worst had passed. They were groups of people who had thought, okay, we made it through that. It's not going to get any worse than it has already. But the Lord's saying, yeah, it's going to get darker before it gets lighter. I already told you ahead of time. If you haven't been tracking with Q, who was stating this when our real president is in office, who's still in office, by the way. It's not the one that's in this fake administration. But he told us before that happened, they were telling us the whole time. Q was telling us the whole time, this and this and this have to happen. The darkness has to come before it gets lighter because we have to wake the people up. And it's because I believe that they're trying to do, and it's been stated too, if you've been tracking with Q, and he's not the Lord. The Lord's been confirming it to the true prophets. But they're trying to hinder as much public rioting as possible. They're trying to keep civil disobedience down while driving down the fake administration's numbers. Get it down to about 20% to where that's when they know they can step in and do something about it. But they also have to wake up the masses, or we wouldn't learn from these, from our negligence and not listening in times past and not paying attention to who we were voting into office and to what these leaders were doing through their corruption. Thank you, Lord. So the worst has not come to pass yet, but God's going to preserve those who are listening to him. If you are one of God's children. So the false prophets have tried to convince the people that the true prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel were doomsayers and that their dire predictions wouldn't occur. They were being used by the enemy to try to get people not to listen. However, God knew that in order for revival to come, his people would have to be brought to the end of themselves. So he was going to allow them to walk through some of this darkness that was coming upon the earth in order for them to see that they needed a holy God in order to survive. He wants to see. I believe that God is bringing revival, and he's bringing in the darkness to try to find out who's going to try to do it their own way, if they try at all, or who's going to submit to God and really make God the Lord of their life again. That's really what I believe this is coming for revival. And I believe at this point, this is the point that America and Christians around the world are currently in. And because God's word and love never fails, it always comes to pass at the appropriate time. So for those of you who've been given dreams and you're thinking, oh my God, what do I do? Do I have a future anymore? Absolutely you do. Yes, you do, because the prophets are also prophesying like Kat Kerr. This is not the end. But the Lord is going to make us go through some tough things to help bring in the new move of God so that God can grow his people up. He can use us to prepare the next generations for what really is going to be coming, to prepare them for the tribulation. So our only responsibility, if you've been given dreams of a future, is to continue believing God that he has a great plan for you, which always come to pass. He's a God that can't lie. So if God's been having you believe for miracles or the hard things, keep pressing forward because God finishes what he starts. Don't give up your dream just because of dark circumstances. God's saying, you're pressing out of the old into the new. I've got to bring you through this place to bring you on through. But it's not unconquerable. It's conquerable. And he is. He's already conquered it on the cross. Which brings me to the next point. Can others tell by your lifestyle that you believe Jesus is coming? Or are you just like everybody else? You're stuck in a spirit of religion and you're just kind of like an ostrich with your head in the sand, acting like your bubble reality is going to protect you. Is your life an action sermon? Or are you stuck in the false peace that the false prophets have tried to interject in this hour? Well, you think none of this mess can touch you because you don't have to acknowledge it. Because if you have confidence in your feelings, which have nothing to do with your faith, you're putting your confidence in the wrong thing. We can't act like Jonas, always running away from the truth. We can't do that. Jonah didn't like his calling. A lot of us don't like our circumstances right now. We don't like the hour that we're living in. But it's not going to change the fact that God is allowing it to happen in order to bring forth revival, which further separates his sheep, to prepare us for the end of the age. It's not going to stop it. God's already got the plan in action. So our thinking and running in denial won't save us. Nor will our listening to false prophets or listening to the yes men or those people who tell us only what we want to hear. We have to deal with the facts when they come to us. And God is going to preserve those who listen in this hour. Because the false prophets are whitewashing things to make you live in a false reality that isn't factual or biblical. They're just telling you what you want to hear. They're tickling your ears. And shame on you for listening if you are. If you just are listening to people who always tell you what you want to hear, instead of, because God says better are the wounds of an enemy, the wounds of a friend than the wounds of an enemy. Better are the wounds of a friend than the wounds of an enemy. If you can't handle the truth when people correct you, when your leaders correct you, when prophets correct you, then you're in a place of the flesh and you think you're kind of taking responsibility for being your own God, which is built on pride. Pride goes before fall. But God's been warning us all along that these days would come. Are you prepared and are you listening? Because revival is definitely on its way. And God's going to utilize it to set apart or bring about a further setting apart in the days that lie ahead to define who his true people are. It's a further defining. The defining is going to become more and more and more apparent as we move forward. Are you aware of that? God's making people choose. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Which brings us to Hebrews 7, 1-17, where God starts depicting a better priesthood, a better order, the order of Melchizedek. I love this title. Where Jesus Christ is king and priest, and his throne is a throne of grace. God says that in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that you made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might know the grace of God. We might know him and become part of him who's in Christ, as in Christ Jesus. I hope I'm saying that right. You made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the grace of God, like that was in Christ Jesus. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Go look it up. I hope I'm saying that right. So anyway, we're saved by grace, basically. It's the bottom line to that scripture. But as king, he can control things that go on around us. But as priest, he can change attitudes within us. If we submit to him, a power greater than ourselves, we begin to experience righteousness and peace instead of operating in a false peace, because we realize our ways are not his ways. And we realize we have issues, we have generational cursings that we need to be freed from. And so our purposeful yielding allows that freedom and that deep inner healing and that righteousness and that true peace to come in. Are you in true peace? Or are you like the disciples who got in the boat with Jesus when he was lying down? And you're like, wake up, Rabbi. Do you see the storm that's going on? Yes, he sees it. He created it. But whose spirit are you operating in? Are you operating in the flesh or the devil's? Or are you operating in the true spirit of love? Because love will keep that which we've entrusted to him until that day. And when we know that love is keeping us, we're at peace. We're truly at peace. So, an earthly priesthood, nor the law, it can't perfect anything in us. It can't save us. The law, matter of fact, is just a standard that we live by to give us guidelines in a way of true living in Christ. It's a guide in a sense, but through the standard that Jesus came in through his life on the earth, he brought us the true standard. He was the true standard bearer. This is the way, walk ye in it. This is how love acts. This is what love says. This is what love does. It's what love feels like when you encounter him on other vessels. He gave us a standard. But only knowing Jesus can lead us into spiritual maturity and learning to walk by faith as we come nearer to a holy God. You see, as we step into this new place in the future, we're coming to understand that, for one, love's ways aren't our ways, but as we come nearer to a holy God, we have to change our ways because God can't dwell where sin is. And if we're not willing to acknowledge that we even have issues, then we kind of leave ourselves in the outer courts. We force ourselves to stay in the outer courts where God isn't at. So I don't know for what you're choosing to do, but for what my house and I are choosing to do, I'm seeking Him with a heart like David. I'm hopefully seeking and being a woman after God's own heart. Because whatever He wants to take, I'm saying, take it, God. I don't need it. I don't want what this world has to offer. It is zero for me. And this is part of the order of Melchizedek. The closer you walk with Christ, the more you attain His heart, the more you have the ability to rule and reign with Him in heavenly places. Sorry. This is the order of God's true priest and kings. Because God understands us better than we understand ourselves. Which brings us into Psalms 105, 37 through 45, where, you know, I realize, I'm so sorry. You know, I realize this is kind of intense because I realize the times that we live in right now are already intense. And if I think that God's people are starting to wake up and realize that for those who are becoming more awakened by the circumstances around them. But at the same time, for those that are coming deeper into the Lord's heart and into His Spirit, we're realizing how big our God is, how big our God is, and how capable He is of keeping us and protecting us and providing for us as that Redeemer through His providential care. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm really realizing that God really does love us. He loves me. He loves you. And He really does order your footsteps forward to be at the right place at the right time at all times, to where we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not even guaranteed. But so my only job is to worry about today and to let God order my footsteps and my actions today. And by doing so, the more I submit to Him, the more I submit to His ways, the more I realize how in control He is when I learn to trust love. And that's only accomplished by coming nearer to Him so that I can get to know Him in relationship. And it helps me to understand His providence. Because God promised to always take care of His bride no matter what. The question is, are you part of that bride group? Or are you in the group of sheeple, determined to do things your own way? Because the true sheep know they won't be doing things their own way in the future. We won't be doing things our own way in the future. We're coming to a place where we're realizing the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. And so I think that's part of the stress involved when we start submitting to a power greater than ourselves. And we start realizing that who's God and who's not. And we start really, really trusting in Him and His ways to protect and provide for us, even when we don't understand them. We just trust Him anyway. Remember when Kurt Landry was talking about the four people groups, and he was talking about the first three. The first two had resigned themselves. They were going into captivity. That's what I kind of took that as. The third one was arrogant enough through pride to think, I'm going to go into the new land, the promised land, with my apparatus of religion. And God's like, no, you won't. I'm not accepting that. That's not my way. Then you have the fourth people group that are like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. I'm going to trust you no matter what. This is that. We're stepping into that new place through Him, through the Lord. And we're trusting Him anyway. Which further explains where God can display His greatest and mighty deeds as He performed like He did for Israel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so for all those big dreams that God has given you, and all those things that you thought, oh no, I don't have enough time to get those things accomplished, that may not come to pass. Yes, it is. If you've been given a prophetic word and God started things in motion for you as a dream, as a part of your plan that he's, I know the plans that I've got for you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future, as a part of that vision. If you've got a vision, write it out, make it plain. It's coming to pass. Because God can't remove you from the earth until these dreams and things that he's predestined for you happen. The Lord's saying, this is that new place where these signs, wonders, and miracles are going to show up for those who've obeyed. It's never too late. It's part of God's covenant, by the way, where God bound himself to an oath and to his people, where he promised to always take care and protect and provide for us. Because that's the responsibility of a bridegroom or a husband, a kinsman redeemer. It's also proof which is depicted in the life of Joseph. Hello, front runner. Where God sent Jacob's family to Egypt. Where God had already stationed his front runner, Joseph, to ensure the preservation of his family. Do you realize in this hour, front runner, this is why God had you step out way ahead in the spirit, way early in the ball game, years ago, 30 years ago, especially within your families, because long term, God was making a way where there was no way for all to get free and be safe in the days ahead. Isn't he good, man? And let me tell you, we're living in an hour right now because I'm sensing it all around me, even in my own family. They're waking up. My family's waking up. They're realizing, wow, this is everything Missy's been talking to us about for 29 years or however long it's been going on. It's all coming to pass. And God told me just last week, because I'm fixing to vindicate you, just like he's fixing to vindicate many of you. So this isn't just another Bible story that we're walking in right now. This is real life and God saving his people, where he has a man and a woman, or a man or a woman who he can send in to do a job that has to be done. I was just telling our teams this morning, I was driving with my mom, actually it was yesterday, driving with my mom, and I told my mom the statement. I said, you know, all my life I always felt like I was in a hurry to get somewhere. I just didn't know where I was going. And my mom cut me off and she said, then get the job done. And I was like, I felt like it was God speaking through a vessel, because I knew God was saying, stay focused and get the job done, front runner. Get the job done. If the enemy's targeted you, that means you're probably well on track to getting the job done. If you're being attacked by other believers or supposed believers, you're on target. You're over the target. Get the job done. If being attacked by the occult because you're effective, get the job done. It's like Patton told his troops. He said, I'm going to say it bluntly. He said, I don't give a damn what you have to do. You get the job done. It was at the Battle of the Bulge. Get the job done. And they're like, but sir, don't give me any buts. Get the job done. Get the job done. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. This is a time to be a little bit thicker skinned. It's a time to put God's super on your natural. If you're a sensitive heart, you're not capable psychologically of dealing with the times that we live in. Get the job done. Ask him to help you. He will help you. Had you been doing, I'm not chastising you, but had you been doing what he told you to do all along, you wouldn't be in this psychological dilemma. You would have been prepared for the times that you're now walking in. But this is the place that we find ourselves with a lot of people around us. They're not psychologically prepared, emotionally prepared. So they're getting overwhelmed. The Lord is telling you, all I'm waiting to hear from you is, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm willing to get the job done. That's what he's saying in this hour. Use me. And so those are the types of warriors that we're seeing God rise up on the scene. And as we wrap up with Proverbs 27:3, the scripture states, stones are heavy and sand is a burden. Sand. Stones are heavy and sand is a burden. But a fool's provocation is heavier than both. What does that mean? I'll tell you what I think that means to me. I believe, you know, fools who provoke people are usually immature people. They're usually emotionally immature. They usually react instead of respond. They're always looking to have the last word in. They don't know how to shut up. I'll just be blunt. They don't know how to just be a peacemaker. They don't know how to do any of this. They always have to be right. So they're operating in the flesh. Basically, they're spiritually immature, if they even know God at all. Those people who are always coming in thinking they know more than leaders, or thinking that they know more than God, usurping authority, all these things. When, had we known the Lord said that silence is golden sometimes. Silence is the best method possible. We don't always have to say something. We don't always have to be right. We don't. Sometimes it's better just to bring peace and to be able to let God fight our battles instead of doing it all in our flesh. He's trying to get us out of the flesh into the things of the Spirit for this hour, because the battle is going to be won by the Spirit, by the way. It's not going to be won by anything we've done. Nothing. So getting all up in airs and getting all upset and being emotionally distraught all the time is not going to fight the battle. It's not going to win it for you. It's going to keep you a nervous wreck. It's going to make you stressed out and make you probably cause some people to do really dumb things. But for those serving the true and living God, for those operating in love, we know that the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. He's the one who's already won it. He did it on the cross. So, I hope you're encouraged today. I'm sorry I had to do this twice, but I'm glad I did it twice, because I really got the word in me the second time, and I hope it was heard well. Hope you can hear it on here. I don't know why the technology didn't work the first time. Sometimes I get these glitches, but you know what? It's better that way. I can get it down to my spirit by preaching it again, and maybe it was better the second time. But I hope you're blessed today. I'm Dr. Missy Hood. I do the 15-minute revs on Mondays. I also do them on Fridays. I'm here to rev you up for the week and then to rev you up for the weekend. If you're looking for a tribe, consider joining us at EzekielsWorld.org. You can also email us at YeshuaNavigator@gmail.com. We're here to train you up to move through God's heart yearly, but to also teach you God's ways and to help take you through deliverance and deep inner healing, and to train you up in honor so that you can be prepared to house His glory. The word of the hour is all about honor. Not just love, because that's just love has got many byproducts to it, but honor. Honor. He's bringing the honor back. He's bringing the love back. Bringing His presence back on in this glory, which is what I believe He's going to use to cover His people as revival comes near. We're getting ready for service. That's what He told me yesterday. A lot of us are getting ready for service, high-level service, because that's what's going to come when revival hits. A lot of people are going to need answers. They're going to be looking and having questions and needing to be trained, needing deep inner healing. Are you one of those people that He's called? So with that, I'm going to leave you with that, and I hope you have a great weekend, guys. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry I had to do this twice again, but I hope you enjoyed it better the second time. And if I don't catch you later today, I hope I'll catch you on Monday as we do the 15-minute rev. But until then, I'll look forward to seeing you then. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.